know, there's an old song that says that I was sinking deep in sin and far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within and sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. You see, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Now, there is a story that we have today about a man who was too short to see God. And so love lifted him. And I pray that's your story and my story as well. Zacchaeus is presented to us today, and we hear something about him that's very unusual in a biblical text. We hear some aspect of his physical appearance. You know, the Bible almost never mentions the physical appearance of people, what they look like. Now, we in the modern age seem to be almost obsessed with stuff like that. You know, what did they look like? You know, what color skin? What type of hair? Where did they come from? Were they tall? Were they short? And we are always, in our modern world, talking about these sorts of things. But the Bible almost never mentions these things. That's our preoccupation, but not the biblical one. But when it does mention a physical characteristic, then that should surprise us. It says, pay attention. There's a teaching moment here. And so we find out that Zacchaeus is short of stature. And because of the crowd, he couldn't see the Lord. But I want you to know something. This recognition of his short stature is an allegory for something far deeper. You see, Zacchaeus is a great sinner. And I say that for two reasons. First of all, the Lord calls him lost. I've come to seek that which was lost. So as we encounter Zacchaeus, we already know the Lord has told us, here is a man who was lost. Lost. And likewise, the Bible calls him not just the tax collector, but the chief tax collector of one of the largest cities in that region. Now, you didn't get to be tax collector. You know, we think of tax collectors like bureaucrats. Not in the ancient world. I got news for you. The ancient world, tax collectors were basically the equivalent of mafiosi. They were the equivalent of gang members. These were folks that knew how to rough you up and extort, and where necessary, even kill to make sure that the taxes were collected. You might say that as a chief tax collector, in fact, when the Bible uses terms like tax collector or prostitute, they're simply euphemisms for the greatest sinners. So Zacchaeus is lost. Zacchaeus is sinful. Zacchaeus wasn't just an also-ran among tax collectors. He's the chief tax collector. That meant he was the Don. He was the godfather. He says, I got a deal for you that you cannot refuse. And when people saw Zacchaeus, they were filled with anger and fear. And that's who Zacchaeus is. And in terms of his stature, it isn't just that he was a short man, but that he comes up morally short. He is short of a full moral deck. He doesn't measure up to what is required for one to be a son or a daughter of God. He is in deep sin, deep sin. He needs love to lift him. And the reason he can't see isn't just because he's short, but because he's a sinner. Now, this is another theme in Scripture, that all throughout Scripture, our sin is equated to our blindness. And so, for example, all throughout the Old Testament, it is said, who can look on the face of God and live? No one. Because of our sins, we cannot endure the vision of God. Psalm 40 said, That I myself, Lord, am locked in sin, and my sin has blinded me. The beginning of the book of Zechariah says that all of our leaders stagger around like blind men because of our sin. You see, our sin is what really blinds us from seeing God. And so Zacchaeus, being called short and unable to see Jesus, we're not just being told that he was a short man, we're being told this for a reason, that he doesn't measure up, that he can't see Jesus because of his sin. And so the first stage of this gospel is that Zacchaeus reckons his condition as incapable of seeing Jesus because he comes up short and because of his sin. And so the beautiful next stage of this gospel, how will Zacchaeus be able to see Jesus? Reckoning his inability to see Jesus, he runs. He reckons, and then he runs. He doesn't just run to a tall hill. He runs to a tree. I said he runs to a tree. He runs to the cross. And there he runs, and he embraces that cross and climbs that cross. Brothers and sisters, how will you and I ever see the Lord? Only by the powerful cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and his capacity to put sin to death and to bring forth a righteousness that enables us to see the Lord. Are you praying with me? We will only see the Lord if our sin is dealt with, and our sin will only be dealt with by first of all having us reckon our blindness, and secondly, running to the cross, embracing that cross, and encountering Jesus there. Church, what a beautiful picture of the Christian life, amen? See, I've been kind of picking on Zacchaeus, but guess what? I'm Zacchaeus, and you're Zacchaeus. You say, hey, Pastor, I'm not that bad off. Well, you're not that good off either. In fact, most of us are a lot closer to Zacchaeus than we are to Jesus in terms of comparison. We come up short in many ways morally. And because of our sin, we struggle to see the Lord. We struggle to see his beauty and his glory. The only solution for us is to be like Zacchaeus, to reckon our struggle to see Jesus and to run to the tree of the cross, and there to encounter the Lord. Because the next stage is so beautiful. Not only does he reckon his problem and run to the tree of the cross, but there he rejoices to finally see Jesus. Zacchaeus is up that tree. Now, suddenly Jesus comes and he stands there. You see, whenever you go to the cross, you're going to meet Jesus. I say, whenever you go to the cross, you're going to meet Jesus. He says, Zacchaeus, come down, for I want to dine with you today. I want to enter and be with you in your house. And here, too, it's a biblical understanding of the word house. It isn't just a physical dwelling somewhere. It is the house of our soul. For example, every time, just before communion, you quote scripture. You say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. In other words, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under the roof of my dwelling. You should enter into the dwelling of my soul. So, Lord, I need a healing word from you right now to help me kind of clean up the place and make it fit for you. And the Lord does give that word. But you see the vision. Zacchaeus, come down. I mean to stay at your house today. I want to be with you. Church, what a beautiful story. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a light from heaven filled my heart. What a beautiful story of a man who reckons his sinfulness with a capital S. He recognizes and reckons his blindness, his incapacity to see the Lord because he's short morally and blind on account of his sins. But he runs, he reckons, and he runs to the cross. And there he meets Jesus, who says, I love you, and I mean to spend this day in your house. Now, church, I want to link this story of Zacchaeus to a key word that I've given you all summer long and now into the fall, and that's the word remember. The word remember. And again, I hope by now you can quote it from memory, but I'm going to keep quoting it. It simply goes like this. What does it mean to remember? To remember means to have so present in my mind, in my heart, what the Lord has done for me, so that I am grateful and I'm different. And that's what Zacchaeus does today. Reckoning his struggle, he runs to the cross, just like you and I need to do every day. I tell you in your prayer, run to the foot of the cross of Jesus every day. I promise you, he is there. Run, and there, remember what he's done for you. Remember, let it be present in your mind and your heart that he loves you, that he died for you. When you were dead in your sins, when I was dead in my sins, the Lord looked and had pity on me and said, here is someone who is lost. And he found me. And he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. And he washed me clean in his own blood and died so I don't have to. Let that become so present in your mind and your heart that you're just filled with gratitude. And because of that gratitude, you are different. You see, look what happens to Zacchaeus. He reckons, he runs, and he rejoices. He comes down from that tree now and runs to Jesus. And as he runs, he says, look, I've done bad things. I want you to know I repent of it. And if I've stolen from anybody, I render back fourfold. And I give half my money to the poor. Now notice, he doesn't do this because, he's coming to my house. That means I got to write the check. I got to pay the bill. No, he's joyful. He wants to do it. He has been moved. And he's grateful. And he's different. Now he joyfully pays back fourfold for any sins that he's committed against others. And he says, and he starts singing, by the way, I surrender half to Jesus. I surrender half. All right, church, he's got a ways to go, right? Come on. But it's a start, amen? By the way, if you don't know that old song, it's I Surrender All. Amen, all right. Now look, I'm just going to say, he does it with gratitude. He's a different man because he reckoned his sin, ran to the tree of the cross, and having his sins taken care of at that cross, he starts to see Jesus, and he is rejoicing, grateful, and different. Always remember Jesus. Always remember what he's done for you. I promise you, it will change you. If you will go to the cross every day, say, Lord, I got some stuff going on in my life I'm not happy about, but I am here now, and I'm remembering what you've done for me. And I am grateful, and I am different. And that's the story of Zacchaeus. And I pray is your story and mine as well. He reckons, he runs to the cross, and rejoices to find Christ. And when nothing else could help, love lifted him. And now he sees. He sees. Church, I have a task today to talk to you about another topic as well and to link it to what we've just talked about. In your bulletin, there's a green flyer, and you can pull that out if you have it handy. I have an obligation as your pastor every year to give you a financial report. And I want to do that, and I want to do it in the context of what we just heard about Zacchaeus, a man who's so grateful, so grateful. Now, there's two sides to this, by the way. Find the side with the smaller numbers on the front. The ones you got to sort of look at your bifocals there and kind of tip them and look through the bifocals at the bottom to see it. Okay. Now, I want to say to you that one of the magnificent truths of this parish in all the years I've been with you is how grateful and how joyful you are every Sunday. And that gratitude brings about in you an amazing fidelity to the tithe, an amazing fidelity to God's, to that tithe that belongs to God, a generosity that comes from your gratitude and from the fact that you do, and I do, we remember every Sunday. I want to say that the bottom line, now by the way, this fiscal year ended June 30th. Now, I'm supposed to technically give you this report in September, but we're not all together yet in September, come on. Some of us are still out in the diaspora. And even into October, we're still kind of getting it together. So here we are now, first Sunday in November, and I'm giving in the report. It ends, it's the fiscal report that ends for June 30th. And the bottom line, there at the left, there's a lot of numbers, but the bottom line is that we took in $85,000 more than we spent. So we're $85,000 in the black. Now that is, first of all, a great tribute to your fidelity, to the tithe, to your generosity. It is also a tribute to the staff here who live within the budget that we set with the finance council, who are your spokesmen and spokeswomen. And likewise, the staff has held the line on cost. So I want to thank both you, God's faithful, for your fidelity, and also my staff for holding the line on the cost as well as for your generosity. Means that we took in more than we spent. That's a very great grace. And I have never in all my years here with you as pastor, never have I had a budget in the red. That's not because I'm such a great manager. It's because you're faithful and I've got a great staff. So there's a lot to be grateful for. And I want to once again say, where does this generosity that you have come from? I hope all of you will testify. It comes from grateful hearts. You know, I share sometimes these financial information when it's public with fellow priests, and they're always amazed, given the headcount here on a Sunday, how generous you are compared to churches that are even two and three times as many people on Sunday morning, and yet they don't get nearly the kind of generosity that you show. And again, I simply say to them what I'm saying to you now. I gather with the people every Sunday morning who rejoice in what God has done for them, who rejoice in God's love for them, who are happy and excited about the Lord. You know, one thing we can say about this liturgy, we're not short, but we sure are, if you will, rejoicing and enthusiastic because God has been so good to us. And I know that your faithfulness to the tithe comes from that sense of gratitude. That you do know how, like Zacchaeus, to reckon your struggles, but run to the cross, meet Jesus there, and come away rejoicing, grateful, different, and generous. Now, I want to say, however, that as we now look into the new fiscal year, I just want to call something to your attention. And I only call it to your attention not because I have any deep concerns. I simply know this, that whenever I've called things to your attention, you've always faithfully stepped up. And I want to say that this year, so far, we're about 13 or 14 weeks into the year, of the fiscal year, we're a little behind where we ought to be right now. In fact, we're about, if you look there on the right side, it says we're about almost $20,000 behind in the offertory to where we need to be at this point. about $1,300 a week short. Now, first of all, let me just say something. I don't know exactly why that is. There could be any number of reasons. I know that it could be that some of the delayed effects of a struggling economy have reached some of us. It could be that some important tithers here have recently retired. It could be that medical costs, we know, are changing right now. We're trying to figure out sort of a new landscape. It could be that we've had the death or some other parishioners who have had to leave us who were large givers. I don't know any of the details, but I do know this, that whenever I've come to you in the past, you've always heard what God requires, and you've always been faithful. And so it is that I simply call this to your attention, not out of any rebuke, but simply to inform and to remind you, as I remind myself, that every year I ask you to review your tithing commitment, you and the Lord. And then we fill out a card and we turn it into the Lord. So what I'm going to ask you to do in the next 3 weeks, we're getting ready for the Feast of Christ the King at the end of the month. And I'm going to ask you over the next 3 weeks, and I'll give you some additional information, tithing quotes and things in the bulletin as we go through this month. But then I would ask you to pray, to review your own fidelity to the tithe, and if there's been any, shall we say, using today's gospel, any shortcomings, that you can remedy those, and if there needs to be adjustments, that you'll make them. But that by the end of the month, you would be ready to say, look, this is my commitment, my weekly commitment to the Lord that I hope to be faithful to. Now, a couple of thoughts occur. Every year we need to do this, right? Sometimes our income has gone up and we should adjust our tithe upward. Sometimes our income has gone down and we need to adjust downward. So every year it makes sense to review my finances. Now, I give you at the bottom of that page with the smaller numbers the key text from Malachi, the key text. And it has three basic components that we should every year simply review our faithfulness, release our funds, and receive our fruitfulness. Now, this classic text from Malachi is one of many that teach us that tithing is not a burden, it's a blessing. Because God is faithful and he will not be outdone in generosity. And God makes promises to those who tithe. So the first step is simply to review our faithfulness. Now, God has to rebuke them in pretty tough language in a way that I don't have to rebuke you, at least not collectively. But God says to them, dare a man rob God? But you are robbing me. And they say, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. And so the Lord says, look, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there will be meat in my house, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the tithe is the first tenth of our income. And the Bible teaches that belongs to God. It's tainted money. It taint yours. It's God's and give it back. And so it is that God says if you don't, it's a form of robbery. Now, there's theft. That's something you do by stealth. But robbery is just you stick a gun in someone's face and say, give me it. God uses the word robbery if we're not paying the tithe. Uh-oh, I don't want to be holding up God, all right? That's not a good idea. But again, the Lord rebukes them in strong words. And in a way, I don't need to collectively rebuke this congregation. You've been so faithful over the years. But it's a gentle reminder from God that I need to sit down, just like all of you, and say to myself, has my income adjusted? And then what does that mean now in terms of my fidelity to the tithe? How am I giving back the first tenth of my income to God? So step one. Review your faithfulness. Some of you may need to adjust upwards a little, some downwards, depending on your income. And then secondly, simple one, release your funds. Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse, says the Lord. Now, whatever that means in your life, but sit down sometime this month and prayerfully consider whether you're keeping your commitment to the Lord in terms of the tithe. And then make whatever adjustments are necessary. Now, the one possibility about why we're a little bit behind is that some of us get a little lazy from time to time. And I know for me, I'm just really lazy about writing checks. And so these days I do almost everything electronically. And I'm so concerned about my tithe that I want to make sure it just comes off the top. So I've got it set up through something called Faith Direct. And by the way, that's in the back page. You can read more about that. Some of you, a lot of you in fact, have your bank automatically sends a check to the parish every month or every week. We get those in all week long. Some of you handle it that way. And then a lot of you place your checks on Sunday or other ways. But I just want you to know, for me, in order to stay faithful, I really need that thing to come out automatically, right off the top. And God just takes care of that through Faith Direct, goes right to the Lord. But sometimes I think a few of us, we might miss a Sunday, or there might be something that's come up, and you may be just a little behind. But again, I simply ask you, whatever the situation, if there's any of that, just this is the time to say, I didn't think they'd notice, but I see that we're having a little bit of a shortfall, so I'll catch up. But whatever that means for you. So, review your faithfulness. Release the funds. And then here comes the beautiful part. Reap, or if you will, receive your fruitfulness. You know, the Lord says, look, try me in this. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And just see if I don't pour you out a blessing that you can't even contain. In other words, church, the tithe is not a burden. It is a blessing. It is a promise from God that you and I will do more with 90% and God as a partner than we would ever do with 100% all by ourselves. I want to just say I'm a witness, and I know a lot of you are witnesses, that when I got faithful to tithing, God has blessed me. Now, I'm on a fairly fixed income. So my income hasn't dramatically gone up. I'm just going to say to you, though, the Lord rebuked my bad spending habits. He sent them packing. He's made me more able to just simply rejoice in the things I already have and not have to go out and buy all the latest. That's what God did for me. But for other people, they do. They get the increase in income. And I will say, I've had a little increase in income. I'm an author, and I earn money by what I write. I write for several magazines throughout the country. And I get a little income there. But again, once again, Lord, I don't need it, so I just give it right back to the poor. But I just thank the Lord, you see? It's fidelity to the tithe that opens doors. And the Lord says, I want you to try me in this. Just try me. Prove me. And just watch and see if I don't pour you out a blessing. There's a beautiful quote there at the bottom of the second page on the one with the larger numbers, the chart. And this is from the book of Sirach. And I have Zacchaeus in mind as I read this, as I begin to wrap up this message right now. And you know, Zacchaeus was a sinful man. He was struggling, but he met Jesus, and he joyfully announced his grateful response to what the Lord had done. And think of Zacchaeus now as I read this text from Sirach. In a generous spirit, pay homage to the Lord. Do not spare free will gifts. And with each contribution, show forth a cheerful countenance and pay your tithes in a spirit of joy. Give to the Most High as He has given you, generously and according to your means. For the Lord, here it is, church, here's the money quote. For the Lord is the one who always repays, and He will give you back sevenfold, which is the Bible's way of saying manifold, manyfold. God will richly bless you if you're faithful to the tithe. I'm a witness. Anyone else a witness? But I'm just going to tell you, I'm a witness. I've tried God in this, and He's been good to me. Today, I just simply put this before you as your pastor. You've been very faithful, and last year was no exception. I simply report to you a minor setback. In fact, I figure with about 700 families and households contributing, if we all just put in about $2 more, we'll make up the difference. But I simply say to you, this is a time of year for us to simply, even without this report, just to say, how am I doing with my tithe? Am I being faithful to God? I don't want to block my blessings. And so I want to review my faithfulness. I want to release my funds according to what the Lord shows me, and I want to receive my fruitfulness. And I want to be like Zacchaeus. I want to do it with joy, with trust, with confidence. I want to do it as a man who's been overwhelmed at how good God has been to me. I want to do it with that joy. Zacchaeus was a man who reckoned his shortfall, who reckoned his sin, who reckoned his struggle, but he ran to the tree of the cross and he met Jesus there. And he rejoiced. And because of that joy, he was grateful and he was different. And it's in that spirit that I simply ask you to ponder this matter, but also so many other matters in your life. Run to the cross every day and never forget all the good things the Lord has done for you. I thank you for your fidelity to this parish. I thank you for your joy that produces that fidelity. And I simply remind you, as I remind myself, that joy is what sees us through. A final thought, just a quote from a hymn. You know, I started out with that beautiful hymn, Love Lifted Me. Here's a man who said, I'm too short to see. So he ran to the cross, and love lifted him so he could see. Last night I was walking, and when I walk, I often listen to music or sometimes to conferences, and I was listening to our choir CD. And another song came to mind, and I thought of Zacchaeus singing that song. It's a beautiful song, and it's on our choir CD. And I simply leave you with these words. And I can imagine Zacchaeus singing it as he runs back to his house with Jesus for the meal. And he says this, there is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. Think of Zacchaeus. Think of yourself. And always remember, every day, go to the foot of the cross and remember. And there, be filled with gratitude and joy and be different. It all starts there, at the foot of the cross with Jesus. Amen.